tonight, I would like to call your attention to the 6th chapter of Matthew, beginning in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Prayer is a wonderful blessing. How many of you all pray? I hope everybody in the house prays. Very few of you pray publicly, but I would hope that all of you pray in your own way, because I want to tell you, it's the greatest blessing we have really from God as far as dealing with life's problems and challenges. We all need help from above, and we can get it. He's just a prayer away. And Jesus is going to teach us here in Matthew chapter 6 some wonderful lessons about prayer. Prayer is not complicated. Prayer is just a matter of talking to your Father. And how many of y'all could talk to your earthly father? Well, talking to your heavenly Father is just talking to your Father. It's not complicated. It's really very simple. And notice how Jesus begins here. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. We are God's children. He is our Father. Recently, a fellow was in conversation with me, and he was telling me what he thinks you have to do in order to go to heaven. And I said, well, Jesus said you must be born again. And he said, that's right. And I said, what did you do to be the child of your earthly father? And he'd never pondered that. I'd ask all of you tonight, what did y'all do to be the child of your earthly father? I know that's a foolish question in a way, but I think it makes a very good point. That's how much you have to do with being the child of your heavenly father. Nothing. That's so simple. Jesus teaches us to address God as our Father. And we're not his hired hand. God isn't hiring us out like you would hire somebody to work for you. You are his child. Our Father. Now, over in Romans chapter 8, I tried to preach on this some last Sunday, but I didn't get into Romans 8. But I want to turn with you just a moment to Romans chapter 8, and notice in verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. That is, you have been, your body has been adopted into the family of God. Your spiritual nature was born into it, but your body's adopted. And now you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba means daddy or dada. It's what little children learn to say first of all. They can't say father, but they can say dada. And it's an instinctive thing for a little baby or toddler to start addressing their father as daddy or dada. That's instinctive. You don't have to teach them. They just instinctively know that. And if you're born of the Holy Spirit, you are crying out to your heavenly Father. You may be born in Russia. You may be born in India. You may be born in Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia. And in your mind, you're blinded to the truth of the gospel. But in your spirit, you know instinctively that you're one of God's children. And you cry, Abba, Father. His Spirit, the Spirit itself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And it's so important, beloved, that all of us understand our relationship with God is one of a father and his children. Very important. The founders of other religions say that there's no such thing as us addressing deity as Father. That's demeaning to God for us to call Him Father. The Hindus wouldn't do it. The Buddhists wouldn't do it. The Muslims wouldn't do it. But we're taught in Scripture that God is our Father. Isn't that comforting? And beloved, that lets us know that even though God is sovereign, He is all-knowing, He's everywhere present, yet He's very approachable. Do y'all see that? God is very approachable. If you get this in your mind and internalize this truth, I've probably shared this with you all at some point in the past, but these men were in the waiting room of the bank, waiting to go in to see the president to try to get a loan, and they were wondering if they would get the loan they needed, and they were, you know, they were dressed up, had their briefcases, and by the way, y'all like my tie tonight. I forgot my tie. It's over at the Carton House, so I borrowed one from your song leader. I think it, anyway, they would be sitting out there all dressed up, waiting to go in to see the banker. And if you've ever been there, you kind of know you can be nervous. And all of a sudden, this little boy with a baseball cap turned sideways and his bicycle and a hole in his pants, he walks in, pushes his bicycle up next to a mahogany desk, waves at the secretary, and walks right in to the president's office. Didn't even knock. And these business people are puzzled and wondering, who's that little jerk? Who does he think he is? And they asked the secretary, and she said, oh, that's the president's little boy. That makes all the difference in the world. And I wish you all could internalize that truth, and maybe you have. See, when you go to God in prayer, you're His child. You may not be famous, you may not be well known, you may live in a little rented house somewhere, but I'm going to tell you, you're His child, and you mean something to Him, and you can talk to Him. And I want to say, I just as soon have these little children praying for me as to have these old folks praying for me. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We're God's little children. And I don't care how old you are. You can be as old as my brother Aaron. You can be 90. 100, it doesn't matter. You're still one of God's little children. Do y'all see that? So, Jesus teaches us to pray, Our Father. I feel sorry for the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Muslims who just don't get it. They may be God's children, but their minds have been blinded to this truth. But I want you all to know. When you say, Brother Sam, how can sinners like us approach a holy God? You know, we were singing a song tonight that I've learned to love, in Christ alone. Listen to this verse. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God, are you listening? The wrath of God was satisfied. Did you know that Jesus Christ on that cross satisfied the wrath of God on our behalf? You know, many people under the Christian umbrella say that Jesus came to this world to be an example to teach us how to live so that by following His example we could go to heaven someday. No, He didn't come down here as an example to show us how to live so someday we can go to heaven. He came down here as a Savior to die. He didn't come to live. He came to die. And on that cross, He bore our guilt and sins. And now, He has satisfied the wrath of God. So you and I can approach the God of this universe through our elder brother, our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus gave us permission to use His name in prayer. Y'all remember that? And I use it when I'm praying. Now, let's notice in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father. And I think it's so helpful to remember that plural pronoun, our. You know, God has a big family. He's got a people in every nation, every kindred, every family, every language on the face of this earth. His children are in the billions. They're as numerous as the stars and the sand. And if you're on the outs with one of His children, you may have a little trouble talking to the Father. Are y'all getting this? See, He says, our Father. When I go to God, my Father in heaven, I'm to remember y'all are my brothers and sisters. I can't just get Him off in a corner and Him be mine. God doesn't have any favorites like that. Our Father. You're mad with one of His children? You know, I was blessed to have two children, and I like for them to get along with each other. And when they didn't, I was upset. I didn't want Betsy picking on Amanda or Amanda picking on Betsy. And God doesn't want His children picking on one another. Are y'all getting this? He don't want us talking behind one another's back and whispering. He doesn't want us gossiping. And I want to tell you something tonight. If somebody will gossip to you, they will gossip about you. I had a sister one time over in Birmingham tell me, she said, Brother Sam, I know I got a weakness gossiping, but I just can't help it. She told me that. She confessed that. Because you know what? She had minimized gossip to a sin that really she wasn't too embarrassed about. It wasn't a big deal. I said, well, how would you like it if people make up stories about your kids and go out and start gossiping about them? That took a totally new spin on it. Because she then realized, I wouldn't want anybody gossiping about my kids. You may have heard about the three preachers that went out fishing on the lake. And when they got out there, one of the preachers said, they were all in the boat, one of the preachers said, you know, we don't ever get to get any counseling from anybody. We have to do it all. And said, why don't we just confess our sins to one another and we can pray for one another? So one of them went first. He said, well, I'll tell you, my weakness is gambling. I slip off, go to the casino. I know I shouldn't, but I just have a weakness for gambling. And the other one said, well, my weakness is drinking. I love alcohol, and I'll just go off and get drunk. And the third one said, my weakness is gossiping, and I can't wait to get back to town. I know there's a little humor in that, but there's a lot of truth in that. Our Father. God doesn't want us talking about His other children. We've got something to say about people. Why not say it to them in a loving way? I tell you, I don't like for people to come up to me and get on to me. And if you do it, I'll get over it in a week or two. It hurts, right? None of us enjoy that. But if somebody comes to me in a loving, kind, and humble way, it helps. Because I'm sure I've got... If y'all see my faults, go easy on me. But I need help. I need constructive criticism. And our Father doesn't mind that. But it's that backbiting, that whispering that He frowns on. Our Father, which art in heaven. And I want to say tonight, it blessed me some time back to just realize our Father is up there in heaven. He's not down here on this broken, messed up, dying world. Now through the Holy Spirit, He ministers to us. But aren't y'all glad tonight that our Father in heaven cannot be tempted? He cannot be corrupted. He can't be voted out. He is God. He's in heaven. He's on His throne. Our Father, which art in heaven. And then notice, if you will, what this prayer is all about in the beginning. It's about God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And that word hallowed is not a word we use much in our language today, but it means to honor. Honorable be Your name. That name which is above every name. You know, we have a lot of secondhand cussing going on in America. I hear people in church doing it. Nelda and I enjoy watching HGTV. I don't know if any of y'all watch it, but... You know, these people who go into a house that's been remodeled, and I'm telling you, 99 out of 100 are going to say, oh my what? Gosh. That's not using God's name in an honorable way. That's what I call secondhand cussing. Darn it. Come on now. His name is to be hallowed. Hallowed be Thy name. And I can tell you a lot of Americans aren't using secondhand cussing. Just filthy mouths. When I'm around people that are cursing, I want to get away as quick as I can. And I can promise you I'm not going to sit in a movie house or a TV show and watch people curse the name of my God. I just can't do that. I wouldn't want them cursing my earthly Father's name. I certainly don't want them cursing my Heavenly Father's name. That's the culture we're in. They don't regard God any more than you would a dead dog by the roadside. But in God's house, hallowed be Thy name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. See, it's all about God for the first part of this prayer. Thy kingdom come. And what is His kingdom? It's where He reigns as King. Thy kingdom come. We're all concerned about America right now and losing our freedoms, and rightfully so. You know, Ben Franklin said, we're giving you all a constitutional republic if you can keep it. We're about to lose it. And that would be sad, wouldn't it, to lose our freedoms as Americans. But I want to tell you something far more important to me tonight than this beloved America is the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. May His reign be real in our world. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? In earth as it is in heaven. And I think this is a disciples' prayer. You see, this Jesus is teaching His disciples. He's not suggesting that we're going to pray and have everybody on planet earth doing the will of God, but His disciples, His followers, those who are under His discipline, are actually going to be doing His will. How many of y'all want to do God's will? Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in me as it is in heaven. Then, you say, well, Brother Sam, when are we ever going to get around to being able to ask for something? I thought that's what prayer was all about, asking for what you need. Well, Jesus does say He gives us permission to ask now. But you know, before we get around to asking for so much, maybe we ought to spend some time hallowing His name, praying that His will be done. And then he says, give us this day. Brother Tracy told me he heard me preach on this last Sunday at Vestavia. See, that's one problem with this modern technology. People think you ain't got but two sermons. Well, I can assure you I didn't wear this out last Sunday, Brother Tracy. I hope you remember some of what I said, but how many of y'all remember old Elder C. Smith when he used to come here? Some of y'all remember him from Shawnee, Oklahoma. Most able preacher I ever heard. He was somewhere preaching one time, and some people came in that had heard him preach somewhere else the same sermon. And he said, oh, they'll go off and say, old Smith ain't got but two sermons. Well, I heard them, and I'm telling you, they were wonderful. But anyway, where was I here? Oh, give us this day our what? Our cake? Our dessert? Now, I like it. I like cake and dessert, but he teaches us to pray for the necessities of life. See, in those days, beloved, meat, most of us have meat at least two meals a day. I don't mind eating meat three meals a day myself. I'm not a vegetarian, although I like vegetables, but I like meat. And I'm blessed where I can afford some meat. But in Bible times, meat was not served every meal. As a matter of fact, meat was kind of a specialty. Bread was the main part of the meal. And Jesus taught them to pray, give us this day. Bread was the staff of life. It wasn't this watered down bread that we eat today. I mean, a lot of the bread we eat today doesn't have much nourishment in it. But that bread was full of nourishment. And Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say to pray that God would give us a year's supply of bread. What if God gave us a year's supply? We might forget Him till next year. Give us this day. And you have a privilege to talk to God and ask Him what you need. How many of y'all are thankful for that? If y'all really need something, you have the privilege, the scriptural right, to go to Him and say, Father, I need this. Would you give it to me? Whatever it is. I want to share this. My friend Obey from Tanzania lived in Birmingham for 5 years studying the Bible. He finally got his driver's license after about 4 or 5 tests. He learned to drive. See, driving in Africa was not common. I mean, it's the walking continent. People walk everywhere. But Obey finally was able to get his driver's license. He bought him an old Ford. I think it was a Tempo. And he wanted me to ride with him. I rode with him one time. That was enough. It was scary. It proved my praying, I'll be honest. Seriously, he was not a good driver. But he never had a wreck. But the car didn't have an air conditioner in it. And I said, Brother Obey, I wish you had an air conditioner. He said, Pastor, it gets me from point A to point B. He asked God for a car, and God gave him one. If you need a car, I tell you where you can go and ask for it. But don't ask for a brand spanking new one now. If He chooses, He can give you one. But I want to tell you, whatever you need, you have the privilege. How many of y'all have been without food for any length of time? It'd be hard. You'd be hard up to find somebody in this church that goes without food. But if you got to that point, I tell you, you can go to your Father and ask. And He can provide. And I believe that gives us a privilege to ask for whatever we need, whether it's bread or a car or clothes or a place to live or whatever. You're talking to somebody that's got His ways and means committees out of this world. Give us this day our daily bread. And then notice what He teaches us to pray. He said, and forgive us our debts. And the word debts there is talking about our sins. Did you know that our sins are debts that we owe to God? Forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. How many of y'all are willing to ask God tonight to forgive you just like you have forgiven those that have offended you? I tell you, you know, old age has its perks. Old age is kind of like climbing a stairway. Now, the body gets old. I'm experiencing that. I know what it's like for the body to start wearing out. But I want to tell you, as you get older, you learn more and more about how wonderful it is to just learn to forgive people, to let it go. You learn, as you get older, how to love people with agape love, like is recorded in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. You start learning as you get older. Now, not everybody's aging sweetly. I've known some old people that were as mean as a coil rattlesnake. But I tell you, I know a lot of old people that have grown sweeter as the years have gone by. They just learned. It's not worth it to go around hating people and holding grudges. It's just not. That baggage is too heavy. I don't want to carry that baggage. Now, I'm not saying you've got to wait till you get old to learn that. You can start learning it tonight. And the older you get, the more you can learn how to just learn to love people. I know it's hard to love some people. I sent a niece of mine a text today. She had sent me a text that she was going to be here today, but couldn't due to exposure to COVID. But she said some sweet things, and I said, you know, you're so easy to love. How many people do you know who are just easy to love? There's a lot of people just easy to love. But there's some people hard to love. Are we to give up on them? No. We're to forgive them as God has forgiven us. See, Paul told the Ephesians, he said, be ye kind, tender-hearted. I love that, don't y'all? Tender-hearted. Do you want to be hard-hearted? That's not good for your health. You don't want hardening of the arteries. You don't want your heart to get hard. Be ye kind, tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. How? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You say, I just can't forgive so and so. Remember how God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. Might make it easier. So, Jesus teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. This is a verse I've struggled with for a long time. And I'm not going to say tonight that I've got it all figured out, but I'm going to share with you what I believe about it, and maybe you can shed some light on it for me. And lead us not into temptation. We know that the Bible teaches us that God cannot be tempted with evil. Satan can't tempt him. He can't be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. Our God is, now the word temptation has two meanings in Scripture. It can mean tempt somebody to do evil. Satan does that all the time. But the other definition of tempting means to test. Just like Abraham was tempted of God, his faith was tested. Now, we know God is not going to tempt us to do evil, right? He's not going to lead us into that. So what does this verse mean? And lead us not into temptation. Here's my thinking. I think Jesus is giving us the permission to ask our Heavenly Father not to test us too severely. You know, Job was tested. I don't want to be tested like that. Paul was being tested with a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed three times that God would remove that thorn. He gave us the example to pray for that. And I don't think it's wrong for you and me to ask, Father, please, don't test me too severely. But if you do, if you see it's necessary in my life to be tested, give me grace to bear it, just like you did Paul. Are y'all getting this? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because I want to tell you, when people are being severely tested, they can get bitter. When you're in trials, you know you can either be better or bitter. You got a choice. That's one thing nobody can take away from you, your ability to choose how you respond to life's struggles. We can't choose what all we're going to go through, but one thing we can choose, the way we respond. Am I going to get bitter about this, or am I going to let this teach me to be a better person? Deliver me from evil. And then notice what he says. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. A lot of preaching in that, but we'll close tonight.